Okay, let's begin our discussion of Parsha Shmos, Tavshin Pehe, as we start a new Sefer. Sefer HaGeula, according to the Ramban. Sefer Sheni, according to the Bahag. Remember, years ago we spoke about that comment that the Nitziv explains, the Bahag. Why is it called Sefer Sheni? Because we're not finished with creation. We think Sefer Bereishis was creation. No, no, no. Creation is still Sefer Shmos, because creation includes the creation of the Jewish nation, the creation of a world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu could rest his Shechina, Hashras HaShechina, and that only takes place in Pekudei at the end of Sefer Shmos. Okay, so let's get into the Sefer. Right away, we'll start off with a thought of the Klei Yakar. The Klei Yakar, in the beginning of the Parsha, as we have the Avos mentioned again, the 70 Jews that went down to Mitzrayim, 70, Yocheved was born late, Yosef was already there. Vayamas Yosef v'chalachav v'chal adorahu, u'bnei Yisrael paru v'yishritzu v'yirbu v'yatzmu b'mod ma'od. They multiplied. They multiplied exponentially. V'timalei ha'aretz osam. And the land was filled with them. V'timalei ha'aretz osam. Says the Klei Yakar, shouldn't it say, havele l'meimar, source number one, but this week, I made sure my secretary wrote the lines and the names, right? Unlike last week, right? Havila lemeimar vatimalei haaretz mehem. It should have said the land was filled from them. What do you mean the land filled them? What does that mean? Vatimalei haaretz osam. You just translate the words. The land filled them. No, it should be the land was filled from them. Mao osam. Ella says the Klei Yakar, no. Remember the Gemara in Maseches Sota. The land caused them to multiply. The land filled them. The land filled the land with them. Why? Right, remember the Mitzrayim wanted to kill the Jews, throw the babies in, and they searched, and that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, they couldn't hide him anymore, it was after 9 months. So Mitzrayim lahargam. And what happens? The women went out to the fields, they gave birth out in the fields, and then magically the land swallowed them up and took care of them for the first couple of years. Amazing miracle. And then when they were ready, the people sprouted from the ground, like Tchias HaChayim, if you might say. No, it's Tchias HaMeisim, Tchias HaChayim. They were never dead, they were alive. And they came out. V'nivlon b'karkav, v'yachorshim al gabam, and they plowed on them, and they couldn't get to them. V'yacharkach, mevatz b'sid ba'olim, and they used to sprout up. If the land wouldn't have covered them, they wouldn't have multiplied like that. The land caused them, the land caused them to be full. It didn't say that they filled the land, but the land filled them. The land was the reason that they filled the land. And that's the Klei Yakar, that one letter, or that one word. Instead of mayhem, it says osam, to give us that insight. Okay. Now let's get back to the beginning of the parsha. Ve'ele Shemos. B'nei Yisrael, these are the names. Haba'im Mitzrayim. Haba'im, that is, if you look in the Unkelis, V'ilein Shemos B'nei Yisrael, Da'alu L'Mitzrayim. Interesting. Alu, usually we think of Mitzrayim going down, not going up. Okay, that's one issue with the Unkelis, but also the Alu in the past, that they went to Mitzrayim. But Haba'im sounds like it's present. It doesn't say Sheba'u Mitzrayim. So why is Haba'im? Why is that stated in that tense? So if you look in the Yagdol Torah, we haven't quoted from this Sefer in a while. Yagdol Torah is a contemporary Likud. He quotes from the Second Belzer Rebbe, Rabbi Yeshua Mibels, in source number 2, from the 1800s. Ki halashon haboim, I think we might have quoted this many, many years ago. Ki halashon haboim ba'al olamdenu, she Yaakov avinu hishrish b'vnei Yisrael, and we have to hope that this continues to be the case. Shelo yargishu atzvam kitoshavim b'mitzrayim. Haboim, it should always feel like you just came. Haboim, right now. You didn't come many years ago. Ela kemoshe ze atabo. You came right now. Because after all, says the Yagdol Torah, teva ha'adam kasher magia labakam chadash, if a person comes to a new place. V'chash keben bayis b'shiv tosham. Right? If you come to a new place, and then finally, after a while, you become comfortable, and you become like a resident, madgish es asmo kitoshav, misragel le minyani amakom, you become accustomed to the customs of the place, lisvas hatoshavim ululvusham, to the language, to the clothing, right, if you aren't satisfied or comfortable in the new place, and you're always wanting to leave, you have a feeling of a guest, of a tourist. Right, sometimes you go to a place, a new city, you go traveling, you feel like a tourist because you don't exactly know where to go and you're not comfortable. And people see you like you're walking slowly, you're looking up at the signs. So you're just not comfortable. So there's a difference. That's Haboim. Haboim. Shalonish taku b'mitzrayim elatzipu l'rega sheyuchlo lases. Lazo b'mitzrayim. They wanted to get out. Loshinu shmam loshanam levusham. As we know, the schus of they're not changing. Just to put in brackets, we just mentioned the klei yakar. The klei yakar at the end of Vayigash, beginning of Vayechi, says exactly the opposite on the pasuk Vayeachazuba, that they started having an achiza in Mitzrayim, and that kind of led to the depth and the lowering to the Memteshari Tumah. Okay, but different Mefarshim give different messages. But we have a message from the Belzer Rebbe that when they were in Mitzrayim, they should have, and many did, have the feeling of, this is not our place. Haboyim. V'zeh pirush ha-pasuk, then he says, gorgeous, beautiful, the first three words of the Haftorah. Haboyim yashrish Yaakov. So al-derech drush. Haboyim, the attitude of Haboyim, yashrish Yaakov. Yaakov was mashrish to his descendants. Yaakov avinu hishrish bebanav sheyu tamid bebechinas Haboyim. Should always be Haboyim. Shelo yishanu l'shon shvam levusham l'shonam. V'yadeza yasak v'yperach v'yisrael. How will we succeed? If we always recognize that any place outside the land of Israel is just Haboyim. Doesn't matter how comfortable, we have to have that attitude. Rav Schechter likes to quote the Maharal Diskin on Parshas Mishpatim, where the Parshas Mishpatim, Maharal Diskin notes that we know by an Eved Nirtza, we pierce the ear of the Eved Ivri, right? If he wants to stay after 6 years, we pierce the ear, and then he stays until Yovel. Why the ear? Why the ear? So Rashi quotes, and the Gemara in Kiddushin says it, that this ear that heard at Har Sinai, one of the deus, heard at Har Sinai not to steal, and he went and stole, so let his ear be pierced. That's the Gemara. So ask the Maharal Diskin, the Regon, he was in Brisk, then he came to Yerushalayim, I think it was Nifter in 1898. So ask the Maharal Diskin, we're punishing him, we're piercing his ear because he stole, but he did that 6 years ago. You know, why are we piercing the ear now? You know, let him pierce the ear right when he becomes an Eved. Answer the Maharal Diskin, no. The punishment was to become an Eved. That was the punishment for the stealing. The problem is that what does he say now? Ahavti es Adoni es Ishti ves Banai. I love it here. I love being an Eved. Lo eitzei chafshi. Can I please stay an Eved more? So obviously he didn't feel that it was such a punishment. So we have to give him another punishment. Because being an Eved is not what we're supposed to be in that state. That's not the ideal state. But he obviously didn't get the message of the Onesh, so we have to give him another Onesh. And the Maharal Diskin says, and when it comes to Galus, we have to recognize that Galus is an Onesh. Galus is an Onesh. And we have to recognize, and that's what he said, we always have to have the attitude of Haboyim. Haboyim, over the past year and a half, it's been easier for Jews around the world to feel Haboyim. And even Achenu, right? We here and who have the schus to be here in Eretz Yisrael, closer and part of the Geula. We need more Geula. We need more Geula. But we have to recognize. Everyone has to recognize Haboyim, that attitude. And then he quotes the story, the Beis Yisrael, whether it's a true story or not. But either way, he gets the message across. Beis Yisrael Sipra al Chassid is loaning the Fnei Hakon Kadosh Rabbi Yisrael be bells. Right, a Chassid goes to the on the bottom left. Shinla Parnasa, I don't have any Parnasa. The Rebbe says, okay, go to such a place and you'll get a Parnasa. Hisni imo shiichtov alav tchufos, but write me letters all the time. Write me letters all the time. Nasa achasid vitzliach Parnasaso. And finally, he went to this far place and he was having atzlacha with his Parnasa. The kasav l'rabo shachin Parnasa berevach. Yeah, I'm making great Parnasa. Ulam vibichina ruchanit enemarutse. But the spirituality here is just, It's not. It's just the people around me don't have the same value system. Chasraloha avirava chabura chasidit. It's not a Hamish environment. I want to come back. The Rebbe says, it's okay, stay there, you need parnasa, you can stay there. Be strong, it's okay, you can do it. And after a while, he keeps writing letters to the Rebbe, and finally he says, Baruch Hashem, hit aklaim b'makom achadash. After a few months, he writes to the Rebbe, he's like, Rebbe, it's all good, I've gotten used to the climate, I've gotten used to the spiritual state, it's all good. Rebbe says, get on the next train. You need to come back. Right? L'tviyas ha-chassid. Madua kol zman she'irgesh lo b'noach, kizaro u'minuchar. As long as I felt like a stranger and I was so uncomfortable, hover lo l'hisha'er, you told me to stay. V'ilu ka'is b'tzavei l'shuv, you told me to come back, says the Rebbe, it's exactly the point. Davka mishum kach, k'shehirgashta she'in zah makomcha, if you felt like this is not your place, then fine, you're going to stay away, you're going to remember that you're separate. Lo chashashti she'tush palara. I don't think that you're going to be negatively affected. Ulam kashvircha margish, but now that you feel comfortable, yesh lachusha betishka sham v'tas miderach yasher. Then I need you to come back. So that's the story that goes with the vart on Haboyim. Okay, moving right along to pasuk zayin. Again, same pasuk that we started off with before. So Yosef and all his brothers died. Ubnei Yisrael paru vayishritzu vayarbu. They had a tremendous amount, right? The exponential reproduction of Klal Yisrael. Says Rashi, vayishritzu shayu yoldos shisha bekeres echad. Six in one. Six tuplets. Right? Six in one in each pregnancy. Aznayim LaTorah quotes Rashi. And he says, source number three, Kalachas hoito yoled shish bekeres echad. Samach ledrash hazu, hashesh tevos mi pru ad ma'od. So, az remez is paru, vayishritzu, vayirbu, vayatzmu, bimod ma'od. Six words. That's a remez to the six. Upam ana, mori v'chabi agon amiti, Reb Elazar Gordon, he quotes his father-in-law from Tells, tshuva nitzachas. He says, my father-in-law once had a conversation with a ksil mischakem. With a wise fool. Someone who took issue with some Mamari Chazal. Shepitpeit neged divrei Chazal elu. That who had sveikus. He was doubtful. Really? Six? Six. Ba'amrosh eim rechokim and ametzius. Six in a pregnancy? Okay, so in our modern day we've seen. But it wasn't common then and it wasn't even possible then maybe. It's rachok when ametzius. V'yafshu mamin shebeneisal paru v'rabu b'mitzrayim shalok kederach hateva. I agree, he said. I agree there was exponential growth. He agrees with what it says in the Torah. Shaharei amisparim hastatistiyim marim alzeh. I'm not going to argue with statistics, he said. That's fact. Statistics are fact. I can't argue with that. V'chalila lamaskil mischakim likfor b'statistika. And chas v'shalom for a kofer to argue with statistics. But, Hainu, right, after all, why? How do you know that? But Esau, Boba, Tribe, and Shivim Nefesh, they started off with 70. Vishal, Shabbat, Redushan, 210 years. From 70, 210 years. So how much naturally should it be? Uba Puravu, Tivis, Hayitzrichem, Leos, Tesam, Mitzrayim, Elef, Umatayim, right, 1200. Olachal, Yoder, Elef, Chamesh, Bios, 1500. To go from 70 to 1500 in 210 years, that would be natural. But the Torah says how many left. But statistica mar'eh, she also be sham, sheish meos elef ragli, right? 600,000 men between 20 and 60. So the kofer is not going to argue what it says in the Torah. So I agree it was out of the realm, beyond the realm of nature, but the nosev aleim le'erach koat kahena of zakeinu betaf, and the older above 60 and lower than 20, yalo lemeav eser mibo, right? 1,200,000, the yachidim anoshim, right, and the women, yalu l'chal apacho shtei me'os v'arboim ribo, right, more than 2 million. So he agrees. The kofer agrees that it was beyond nature. Rav Salama, shtei million v'arboim me'os alpayim v'elef, right? 2,400,000. Umemela mochrachim lahodos. He admits, shebede yisro paru v'aru b'vitzayim shalom b'derech hateva. Fine, I believe that, but But he couldn't believe this chazal. Shekalachas minashe Yisrael b'mishar b'yolda shisha b'keres echad. No! Not six at once. Not six at once. Az anala mori chamiya gonzal. So, my father-in-law answered him, I'll prove it to you from statistics. That there had to be something like that. Why? Sheish raya sheina la pircha mea statistica. Hanemenes ala shol. Yosef b'divir chazal. Statistics are fact. Chazal? You know, if it works out, if it works out, if they're having a good day, right? So I'll prove it to you. Top of the middle column. I'll prove it to you. Vahainu, you don't know it from this parsha. You know it from Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar. Vahainu miminyan abachorim. Firstborns. Firstborns. Every woman could only have one firstborn. Right? Every woman could only have one firstborn. So how many firstborns were there and then work backwards? Right? How many firstborns were there? And let's say if you have a girl first, then it's even less. Right? How many firstborns were there? Shenimnu parshas Bamidbar, v'olam isparam la'esrim shnayim alpayim b'kama meos. Right? If you want to know exact, 22,273 firstborns. That means women had, that's the number of women that had a boy first. Right, 600,000 or so between 20 and 60. And the firstborns were even from a month. You have to add on to the number of men, right? So 600,000 men between 20 and 60. And, we doubled that already. And there were more, right? Another 600,000, right? Which makes 1.2 million boys, men. So 1.2 million. So think about it, says the Rebbe Lazer Gordon. So how many families were there? The average family is, let's say, five, he says. V'yesh al kol b'char le'erach dalep shutim, five children. And every firstborn has four siblings. That's five, let's say today. Hayu b'yotim mitzrayim rak esrim v'shnayim alafim b'chorim al milyon v'shtei meyos alafim. There were 2+ million people, and how many? Only 22,000 firstborns. How do you get 22,000 firstborns with so many people? Hamispar klali shal zachar miyotei Mitzrayim obemil macheros shekal isha sheyolda bachar. Every woman who had a firstborn, doing the math, I'm not going to do it all right here, but he does it. Yolda acharav chamisha mechamisha yeladim. 55 kids to every family, if you do the math. Shari hayirak, there are only 22,000 mothers. Pitru et rachman ulahen noldu milyon v'shtei meyos alafim azacharim. Right? And how many boys did they have? Right? The boys that went out of Mitzrayim. Right? It was talking about the women in Mitzrayim. So how many boys went out of Mitzrayim? How many men slash boys went out of Mitzrayim? More than 2 million. More than 2 million went out of Mitzrayim. Only 22,000 plus were firstborns. So every mother had to have 55 children. 55 children, what's the average lifespan? Let's say they had one single birth. It's impossible. It's not going to work out. Even twins is not going to work out. Do the math. Got to get up to about shisha bekeres echad. Hallo, ef shar madam of the column. Leisha lehis aber v'laledes bimei chayak zaram yosef b'esar pamim. How many times could a woman be pregnant, single birth in her life? 10? Right? At most. Right? V'hare yotei shekol isha yalda shisha bekeres echad v'chulu. And this is what he answered the kofar. Hello, I'm just telling you statistics. I'm not telling you anything more than the numbers that it says in the Torah, and you agree to the numbers that it says in the Torah. So just think about it a little more. Hashoal histapek ne'elam dumiya chashashamas hamisparim ha'ela. He was quiet. Vesayachas hapel'i shalabachorim el mispara klali, and says Rav Saratskin to end off the piece, v'davar zeh mitzvah l'farsim barabim. It's a mitzvah l'farsim. So Baruch Hashem, we're trying to do that in this year's Parsha Shir. To be mefarsim barabim, this idea that just doing the math, it had to be that shisha bekeres echa. Okay. So Paro was nervous. Vayagam alachadash, asher lo yada es Yosef. Vayomer alamo, he says to his am, I'm nervous. Am b'nei Yisrael, this nation of the Jewish people. Here it is. First time we are called b'nei Yisrael is by Paro. Right here. Paro calls us b'nei Yisrael. That this nation, b'nei Yisrael, rav va'atsum mimenu. They are rav and atsum. Right. Interesting. It says rav va'atsum mimenu. Next pasuk. Let's deal wisely. Pen yirbe. We don't want them to become rav. I thought they are rav already. Right? They're rav. Let's do something. So pen yirbe, lest they become rav. That is that word. How do those two psukim work together? They are rav, and I don't want them to become rav. Also, what's the lashon of rav va'atsum mimenu? They're great. They're atsum. They're strong. Mimenu from, mimenu sometimes can mean from us, sometimes from him. Right? What is mimenu? What is this mimenu going on? Rav va'atsum mimenu. Right? The uncle says it means from us. V'amar la'ama ha'ama b'nei Yisrael sagan v'takifin minana. Minana is from us. They're greater and stronger than us. Mimenu. But it's not 100% clear what the mimenu is going on. Arachayim HaKadosh. Arachayim HaKadosh, three pshatim. Three pshatim for the phrase rav va'atsum mimenu. Because, again, he's going to answer the question mimenu, but he's also going to deal with, were they, right, they didn't want them to become so many. And it sounds like they were already rav va'atsum. So says the Arachayim, od yirtze, he gave up shot before this, which I didn't put on the sheet. Od yirtze ba'amro hine am, al ze hu, ki im ze mishune mikol ha'amim. The Jewish people, says Paro, to his nation, they're different than all the other nations. Ki shara amim yisarvu b'nehem, ve'en lecha am she'en bo ta'aroves, gadol, right, mikama amim. Right? All nations are a conglomerate of all different types of people. Right? Every country in the world today have people that have moved in and it's the melting pot and they're all, you know, different, they happen to live in one place now, but they're all a melting pot. Ashaloki and Amisol, the Jewish people, they are pure and exclusive. And they're not made up of a lot of different nations. V'hu amro, hine am kulo, b'nei Yisrael, v'ein zar itam. V'amru, and that's what it means, rav v'atsum. Pirish ki be'emsus heyosam, am echad umiyuchad. Rav here means great. Great and exclusive. Hagam shiyu ma'atim be'erech. Shar ha'umos, even though they are more in the minority from other nations, yechashvu l'rabim va'atsumim mehem. They're considered rav atzum. Right? They're not literally more the majority, but they are considered that because this am, like the beginning of the pasuk, am b'nei Yisrael. They're an am. They're a pure am. And look what he says in the next line. Because they have this about them that they're pure. They're purebred, so to speak, and they are exclusive. They're going to fight harder for what they believe in. And these are those who fight on the battlefield. For those who fight on the battlefield, right, there's nothing, there's nobody, there's no army, we see this today, that will be moser nefesh for their country for the same values than Am Yisrael. Than our soldiers in the IDF. We see this today, but it was in the days of David HaMelech as well. Right? Because when you are an Am, Paro recognized that. These Jews are unified in such a way that they're just gonna win. Rav va'atsum, they're Rav and they're, and therefore they're atsum mimenu. Wow. Number one. That's our power. Because we are connected by what we believe and where we've come from. Number one. Number two. Od yirtze, another pshat. V'omro rav va'atsum. Rav shemisrabesh lo kederach ha'olam. So again, rav, imshat number one was that they are they're minority, but they're ki'ilu, they're the majority because they're going to fight so hard because of what they believe in and what connects them. Number two, Rav is no. Shemisrabeh, they multiply shaloka derech olam, not like the natural way of the worlds. V'hinei miteva ha'olam, right? Naturally, kashe yivoldu rabim. After a woman has a baby, especially multiples, she's very weak. And the baby's probably pretty small, right? They're preemies, and they're, you know, having multiples is not the simplest of pregnancies and births. The Or HaChaim knew that 300 years ago. Kashe yildu rabim yutashe koach, right? They would be weak. Bein b'chinas ha-noladim, bein b'chinas ha-molid. Whether it's the mother or the kids, they're weak. And sometimes that might, Rachman al-Aslan, affect them for their whole, you know, there might be complications in multiples. Seyulam aniyat ta'omim ki yadul ativiyam. Look out, look, he says, look in our life at twins. Look at twins. That's known to the tiviyam. I guess that means the doctors. Umeyata. So you might think they're having six at a time. Ah, they're going to be weak. They're going to be, the women are going to be, exhausted and then the kids. So who cares if there's a lot of them? Was there Omar? That's why the Paro said, no, Rav, there are many va'atsum, but they're strong. It's not natural. It's not normal. Pirish. Hagam shehem misrabim biyoser me'aragil. Even though they're multiplying more. Afal pikin v'atsum imenu. Right? They're atsum. They're rabin atsum imenu from what they should be weak. Hagam shein bohem aribui. Right? Umin aroi hem hayu ru'uyim lios chazakim yoser mehem. They're stronger than us, but we should be stronger than them. Because what they're going through should naturally weaken them. And it's not weakening them. So we see something miraculous is going on here. We got to do something. We got to act. The kakpasik zeh tevas mimenu ukapir zeh tevas mimenu choseres el atzum. Right? Atzum mimenu v'lo amro rav ki besamach omer pen yirbe. Right? They're atzum mimenu. They're atzum from us. They're atzum from us. Right? They're stronger, and that's not what's supposed to be. Number two. So number one, they come from a unit and exclusive, and they're going to fight as one. Number two, shloki derech olam in terms of the birth. Number three is Paro here was claiming something that all of our enemies throughout history have claimed. This is how our enemies have justified persecuting, killing, maiming, destroying the Jewish people. And this is what they say beforehand. And is documented as you walk through any Holocaust museum. What happened in the years leading up to the Holocaust? What did Hitler, Yamach Shemo, and all the Germans do? They dehumanized us. And they treated us, and they created a sense of a hierarchy where the Jewish people are on the bottom of the totem pole. Od yirtzeh ba'omro, rav atzum mimenu. They are rav and atzum. You know why they're so great and they're still alive? Mimenu. They owe everything to us. You know what happened? Yeah, we all know the story. Those brothers came down from Canaan. They had nothing. Who saved them? Who gave them life? Mitzrayim. They're nothing without us. They wouldn't be here without us, Paro says. Recognize the Jews owe everything to us. Okay. And obviously this is, Asher lo yadas Yosef. Od yirtzeh, now let's read it inside. Ba'omer rav atzum mimenu. They're rav atzum from us. Pirish. Gedula sam v'ribuya mehem haya. They're from them, from Paro. V'akavadah bazeh. Kibalo diyausam. He, Paro, is telling his nation, ki yesh lahem chov b'Yisrael. The Jewish people owe them everything. V'niskavin lahakdim taina. And why is he saying this? Lebal yomru elav amo o kol roeh ma'asav nachriim. Right? What? All of a sudden he's going to start saying killing the babies? You think that's politically correct? You think you can just get away with that even in the society of the Erevas Haaretz? But ethics, right? Babies. That's why Paro is trying to head it off beforehand. Yeah. They'd be dead without us anyway. Ki be'ezek koach yamod v'yikach am echad ha'shochein bekirbo. an Am that comes to live amongst them. How would anybody allow that? Right? They rewrote the history books. Right? We find that sometimes. Right? Rewriting history books, taking out Yaakov and the famine stopping, and Yosef. Okay. Let's continue. So Paro first says to the midwives, right? Because instead of doing it publicly first, so what does he do? He just told the midwives quietly in the hospitals, you know, just kill the baby boys. Because then nobody has to know about it. Fine. That didn't work. It didn't work, so Paro says, why aren't you listening? So the midwives, the Mialdos, say, because they're too fast for us. They're too fast for us. So then Paro changes it. Pasach Chav Beis. Vayitza Paro l'chala molemar. Kala ben ha'yilod haya ore tashlichu. All boys born throw in the river. Rashi. What do you mean, all boys? And l'chalamo, so Rashi quotes, afaleim gazar. On that day, from that day on, the gzera was even against the Egyptian boys. They also had to be thrown into the river. Why? Yom shenolan Moshe. It was the day that Moshe was born. Amru lo itzdagninav. His astrologer said, hayom nolan Moshian. Today, their savior was born. But we don't know, says Rashi. We don't know if he's Jewish or Egyptian. We see in the stars that the Moshiach was born. But we don't know if he's Jewish or Egyptian. But we do see that his end has something related to water. His life is going to end because of water. So you know what? Throw all the babies in. Leficha gazar oso ayom afal ha-mitzriyim. So that's why he said even the Mitzrayim had to throw their babies in. Shenemar kolaben hayilov lo nemar hayilov leivrim. They didn't realize shesofo lilkos al meimariva. The water that was going to be the problem for Moshe was meimariva. It's going to be the water that obviously by the rock, whatever the chait was in Parshas Balak. Kasha, such a simple question. I don't know why we haven't dealt with it in the past, or other mafarshim don't ask. Right? The Tzagninim saw that the Moshe was born today, but they couldn't tell if he was Jewish. What did it mean to tell him he was Jewish or not? What's the Havamina to think he was going to be Egyptian? The Moshiach of the Jewish people was born today. It's so hard to think that he was going to be a Jew? Like, what was the Havamina? And A, and B, if they could see into the future, why couldn't they see this detail either? They're such great fortune tellers. They could see with 100% clarity that there was a boy born today that was going to save the Jewish people. So first of all, if they saw that, then how did they think they could play with the future? Okay. But either way, why couldn't they see who it was? Egyptian or Jew? Says the Maharal something remarkable. Source number 5. Says the Gur Aryeh. Says the Maharal. Vakasha. He asked this question. If they saw that there was going to be a boy born, what was so hard? Says the Maharal. The year Ali Mipnesha Bas Paro Gidlo. He was raised by Bas Paro. And what does the Gemara say? If you raise a child, it's as if he gave birth to them. The Pasuk says in Divrei Hayamim, Moshe is called the son of Batya. Bitya, it says in Divrei Hayamim. Bitya, Yered is Moshe. Lefichach lo hayu itzdagninim roim al tol daseim b'Yisrael. So they were confused. Is it Jew or not? Biologically, they see both. So we know biologically, he was born to a Jewish mother. But educationally, he was raised and brought up, and Bati was also considered a mother. Shari Nikra Leben the Basparo. Vigamlo aim mimitzrayimu. Rishi Yoldo so Yocheven. They were confused because they saw two mothers. They saw the mother, the biological mother, and they also saw the mother that the Gemara says, if you raise a child, ki'ilu yaldo. So they didn't say, shemi Moshe limdo, hamagad liyasa, madoh besok liyaldo. They learned it from Moshe himself. Right? What does the Gemara say? That Moshe raised Aaron's kids. So they know it. So that's why they were confused. And in the footnotes, Rabbi Hartman just quotes the Maharal elsewhere in Gvuras Hashem. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was a different than all other Jews. He was on a different level. Okay. But I heard years ago of Rabbi Isaac Bernstein. And you remember his Shiurim from, he quotes this Maharal. And he says, one second. What does that mean that Bitya or the astrologers saw into the future? If you look at the future, according to the Goyim, what would they call the mother? Right? The mother's Jewish. What? They saw the Gemara in Megillah. Right? That's what they saw in the future. They saw the halacha of Kol Magad Lo Yosef Yiliyada. What are you talking about? They saw. How do you see that in the stars? How do you see the stars? You see the Gemara and Megillah in the stars. Kol Magad Lo Yosom, B'toch Beso. So Rabbi Bernstein said, so you know what this Maharal is telling us? Yes. You see it in the stars. What do you mean you see it in the stars? So he said, Achap. He says, just like the Zohar says, Hashem looked into the world, into the Torah and created the worlds. You could look into the world and get the Torah. Isako Baraiso Bara Alma, the blueprint of the world was the Torah. And that's why we know everything in the world has to fit into the Torah. Because the Torah was a blueprint. So if that's true, then it must be that if you look at the world properly, with the proper glasses, you could get all the Torah out of the world. Right, what does the Rambam say in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah? You can look around at the world. That'll kalit Avas Hashem, kalit Yiras Hashem. So that's what Rabbi Bernstein said about this Maharal. Right, what did he talk? Okay, it's a great shot about how they were confused because there were two mothers to this kid. But what do you mean two mothers? There's one biological mother. They believed in Halacha? Yeah, they looked at the stars and they saw that's the reality. That's the MS that came out of even looking at the stars. Okay. Let's get to the Sneh. Let's get to the burning bush. The burning bush. And let's read the psukim. And let's go through the Nitziv on three psukim in a row. And we'll see he has a mahalach. He has a way of understanding, giving us insights that we didn't have before. What exactly did Moshe see that drew his attention? So, if you have the sheet in front of you, source number 6, but if you have a chumash also, let's read it. So what happens? Moshe was a shepherd of Tzon Yisroel Chosno, Kohen Midyan, and he goes and he comes to Har Sinai, Chareva. Comes to Har Sinai, Chareva. And, Vayera Malach Hashem Elov. The Malach Hashem appears to him. First point in the Nitziv. To him, Source number 6, to him means b'yichud lo, just to him. He's the only one that saw. Ki hayu imo o mesharsim v'avdei Yisrael. We think of Moshe being alone with the sheep. Who says he was alone? He was probably with a bunch of other shepherds, but he's the only one that saw the burning. So elav, Hashem appeared to him. Avalo hitra'eh ha'inyin rak elav. Okay, he was only to him. But now, what did he see? Bilabas eish mitoch hasneh. Fire, mitochasne. It doesn't just say. Says the Nitziv, line 8, min hasne. He saw a fire from the bush, or me'alasne, on top of the bush, which usually fire you would think it's like on or on top. Mitoch, he saw fire in the middle of the bush. Pirish mitochasne me'emsa hasne dafka velo mitstade hasne. Only inside, not on the outside of the bush. Kemo ve'etz achayim b'toch hagan, like the tree in the middle of the gan. Right, the fire was in the bush. Rasha b'toch hasne lahavas eish chazaka va'aza. He saw fire, strong fire in the middle of the bush. Kederecha eish b'shashenechazes b'tkafa, like fire when fire is very strong. Right, maybe b'schus this, all the fires going on elsewhere in the world everybody should be safe. Right? Umikomakom, einu ela betoch hasneh. But the strangest thing was that it was burning so hard in the middle of the sneh, and there was still more wood around the fire to burn. So naturally it should spread. It wasn't spreading. It wasn't spreading. V'anfei hasneh mikan u'mikan shleimim. The branches on the sides of the fire were complete. V'ha'esh eino nagas bahem. Fire wasn't touching them. So that was strange. The fire wasn't spreading. Not just like we usually think of the burning bush. The bush was totally on fire, engulfed in flames, but it still didn't like disintegrate. No. So then it says, that's not what happens. The inside of the bush was burning. The outside wasn't singed, wasn't burning at all. Vayar, and Moshe sees this. The Netziv implicitly has an unbelievable kasha. What does it say in the Pasuk base? What did he see? He sees the sneh bo'er ba'esh. What does the next Pasuk say? I'm going to check madua lo yivar hasneh. What do you mean, lo yivar hasneh? He just said, the sneh was bo'er. So what does that mean? The sneh was bo'er. Moshe says, why isn't the sneh bo'er? So no, the Netziv says you have to read closely. You have to read slowly. Right? So you have the fire in the middle of the sneh, and you have the bushes on the side. So, says the Netziv, as Rashi already points out, ukal is a strange word, unusual word. It should say ne'echal. Right? In the farish asneh doleik ve'eno ne'echal, eno medir chaloshon eno ukal, eno ne'echal mibo'ele. Ela hapirish. What does it mean? Sne bo'er ba'ish. Netziv gives a very creative shot. We know from the beginning of Baba Kama, ki yaver ish sadeh. Yaver could mean consume. Consume. Hainu, shahasne mechala es ha'ish. Sne bo'er, sne, it's not talking about the sne as an object, but as a subject. He sees the sne being bo'er the ish. In other words, the bush itself was, so to speak, consuming the fire. It wasn't letting it moving. The sneh was staying strong. It was being bo'er actively. It was like an animal is bo'er fruit. The sneh was being bo'er the ish. Fasnein, and ukal. Shara mitchila. So again, now the tziv. He sees balabas ukarega nasto ha'ish chal shama atmat. He sees the fire in the middle. He sees the bushes on the outside, but the fire is getting smaller. He sees the sneh, the bush overpowering the fire. Ve'en, that's what it means. Asneh is not bo'er bo'esh, like v'ha'har bo'er bo'esh. No, different. V'asneh nenu kol, as he says. And that's what he says. The sneh on both sides was kayam. So what's going on here? Top left. V'yemkein derech shal heves, sh'rah b'toch asneh, the way of flames in the sneh, sh'tei nechezes gam b'tzadav, it should burn the sides. V'tigdal o'esh, the fire should get bigger. V'yemkein hosho esh nas t'chol shah, al karchach it must be sh'teva hasneh hu sh'machala me'esh, v'hu pele. The bush was consuming the fire. What's going on here? It's a noun that says in itsif. V'hinei ra'a Moshe shtei riyas. Moshe really saw two things. And Moshe knew now that there was something godly going on here. Tchila ra'a labas esh b'toch asneh. He sees the fire in the sneh. V'hari yodeya shalo ba'adam lakan v'hidlikas esh b'toch asneh. And Moshe knew no human being had set fire to this bush. Nobody was around. V'yemkein nisbon esh umar elohus. He realizes that it is a godly vision. So number one, the fact that this bush is burning must be from God. And number two, that the fire is getting smaller instead of getting bigger. So what's going on here? So he says, why isn't the sneh? Why aren't the sides of the sneh becoming burnt? Becoming burnt. Vehine, last section. Ariya Rishon, again, you could do the Netziv on the whole Parsha, but we're just doing this section. Ariya Rishon, alosaliros, madua dolek esh besneh, v'yadamin lahadagas avara. The fact that there was fire in the bush, that maybe he wouldn't have, turned away. The fact that there was a fire and he knew Hashem lit the fire. Because he might have assumed that the fire in the bush means hardship, means burning, means the state of the Jewish people right then.
They're
getting burned. But what he didn't understand was that the fire was getting smaller. Because he was thinking to himself, the Jews, what was the fire? Mitzrayim was the fire. What was the bush? The Jews were the bush. what should be happening naturally? The Egyptians should be decimating the Jews, and the Jews should be getting smaller. And yet, in the bush was getting smaller. The fire was getting smaller, the Mitzrayim, and the bush, the Jews, were safe and overpowering. Line 29, Aval Rasha, Ish Kala, Vinif Cheses, Belitam, V'Yisrael Amo Inam Kalam Klal, V'Yim Kain Heich Yiyu HaGzeros Kalin. I don't understand what's going on here. I don't know of any redemption process that has started yet. That's exactly what Hashem was teaching him and showing him, because this is going to be part at the beginning of the redemption process. This is how the Netziv sees the burning bush, not just a magical event, but he sees it as two points. Again, the fact that it's burning inside and the fact that it's getting weaker, and that's how we understand Sne Boer Baish. The Sne, the bush, was being Boer, was consuming the fire. Okay. And he continues, and you could read the continuation, but we're just going to go to the last thought, and that is from Rav Salvechik. Also, I think we might have mentioned this at some point many years ago. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first thing Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, once Moshe turns, first Hashem says Moshe, the first thing he says, Vayomer Hineni, Vayomer, what's the first thing that Hashem communicates with Moshe besides his name? Take off your shoes, it's holy ground. Vayomer, and then Hashem introduces himself. I am God. I am Hashem, Elokei Avicha, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Moshe hides his face. Vayaster Moshe mipanav ki yarei mehabit el ha'elokim. Moshe hides his face. It's a machlokas in the Gemara. Whether this was appropriate or not. Right? The Rav quotes Brachas Dav Zayin. According to Yeshua ben Karcha, Moshe should not have turned away. He's looking at Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu was appearing to him. Yet later on, what happened to Kisisa? Moshe's like, I want to see you. Lo yirani adav b'chai. So then, but here, Moshe turns away. So he shouldn't have. Rabbi Yonasan says, no, it was Moshe's fear of looking at the Shekhinah, which merited his becoming the greatest of the prophets. So Rabbi Yonasan says that it was a good thing to turn away. What was so positive about that? What was so positive about Moshe Rabbeinu turning away? The fire of the bush was burning. The infinite light called to him. The master of the universe waited. And Moshe's face remained hidden, as only Rav Salvechik could have that buildup. Right? Why? Why did Moshe turn away? Why didn't he want to have that experience? Hashem was ready to reveal himself. Moshe in his true absolute entirety. Moshe had the opportunity to experience all that was hidden, to understand with clarity the ways of Hashem, his justice, how he leads creation. All questions would be answered. Every teku resolved. But Moshe hid his face. Moshe did not want all the questions answered. Why? Moshe was afraid that had he not turned away, he would lose the attribute of chesed, the feeling of empathy and love regarding his fellow. Everything would be clear. He wouldn't be able to empathize with people going through pain. There's a reason for this. What are you so upset about? Moshe didn't want that. If he were to understand this attribute completely, he would recognize that in truth there was no evil in the world. He would know that the pain man experiences is only for his good. He would see clearly, right, that Hatzur Tamim Pa'alo. He would then perceive the world in the same way Hashem looks at the world. V'chulu, where Moshe to see the world in its entirety, death, sickness, poverty, suffering, loneliness will all appear good with purpose and significance. And he would not be able to be the leader. And he wouldn't be able to even, Moshe wasn't even thinking about leadership now, wouldn't be able to be a fellow Jew. Because empathy and v'ahavta le'racha kamocha is part of who we are. And Moshe, finishing up, Moshe had the choice to pursue knowledge and lose chesed, or remain without knowledge and merit chesed. And he chose the latter. So great was his love for Israel that he sacrificed the most sublime of human strivings, the knowledge of God. He turned away. He turned away because he wanted to keep that humanness to him. And that's why he's the greatest leader that we've ever had. Right? Aaron HaKohen is known for his Odei Shalom Barodei Shalom. But Moshe was the one that went out on a limb and saved us time and over again. Even saying, Hashem, kill me, but let them live. Mecheni Nami Sifricha. So This is the parsha that we're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu. We're with Moshe. We're with Moshe from now until the end. Every parsha he accompanies us in Vitetzave, in Tetzave, it's Viata. In Sefer Dvarim, he's talking. He's with us. We should be Zocha to be able to follow Moshe Rabbeinu, be with him, learn from him, and Be'ez Hashem, be Zocha. He started the Geula, and Be'ez Hashem, we should be Zocha to the ending and the completion of the Geula.